Monster Man, Episode 106, Guardian Demon to Guardian Familiar. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear, and as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them, their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In this season of Monster Man, I'm reading my way through the Fiend Folio, the 1981 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition, and in this episode, we are completing our coverage of the G chapter of the Fiend Folio. Before we do that, though, got some business to take care of. I want to start by thanking a new Patreon backer. That's right, this is someone who's gone to patreon.com/monsterman and pledged as little as $1 a month to support the show. And if, like today's backer, you pledge at the $2 level or higher, you'll also get access to my other podcast, Patron Deities, in which I do for the Deities and Demigods book what I've been doing for the Fiend Folio, but in a little bit more depth and detail. In fact, there's a new season of Patron Deities, a new chapter starting tomorrow. We're going to take a look at the Deities and Demigods section on Chinese mythology, and it's going to be a job of work. I'm actually quite looking forward to it, but there's a lot to talk about. Anyway, I'm happy that I'm going to be able to share that season with our new Patreon backer, Rick Knott. So Rick, thank you very much for your support. It's also time to answer some listener mail. I got a couple of great suggestions about using monsters that I've discussed on previous episodes. So one came up in a conversation with friend and Patreon supporter Robert Faulkner, who was talking about the Eye of Fear and Flame. And he pointed out, quite accurately, that you don't actually see the creepy, intimidating face of the Eye of Fear and Flame until it sort of reveals itself at the end of your interaction with it. So that might go against my sense that maybe a grinning skull with one flaming red eye is not the type of thing you would take moral advice from in the main. But it's replaced by just like a black featureless void, and I think I probably also wouldn't take moral advice from a black featureless void. But he suggests that basically you use this to, you know, have the Eye of Fear and Flame as the bad guy behind a fallen paladin, I guess on the assumption that paladins, you know, being basically good-natured, tend to be a little bit trusting. He says he could pose as some kind of spirit of justice, you know, command the paladins to go into the streets and strike down the unbelievers or burn the heretics or whatever. And it's just, you know, that shady NPC has already tricked a paladin onto his road to falling is a much more interesting story than a shady guy turns up and tells the PCs to do a crime. So, yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think that is an example of a monster that works better as the solution to a mystery than as an encounter where you kind of start with the monster. And that's also true of our next listener message, which comes from Oliver Longdon. And he was talking about the gold bug. It says, it occurred to me that the gold bug would make a great murder weapon in a mystery adventure. Local miser found poison in a locked room while counting their gold, that sort of thing. When the players tackle a crime scene, they could also be set upon by the gold bug, which would then throw suspicion onto the local druid, returned from foreign parts of the collection of unusual animals. This has the advantage of setting up the gold bug as a wildly rare specimen, which hopefully gets around the players feeling the need to hit each gold piece with a warhammer before putting it in their purse. Another possible idea would be to turn the encounter on its head and have the players make use of the gold bug to take out the big bad. There's a local warlord making trouble for the humble villagers. He or she is far too tough for the players to take on in a frontal assault, but they might just be able to sneak into the dungeon lair and slip a gold bug or two into the treasure chamber. So yeah, I think those are both actually pretty good suggestions for doing something interesting with what otherwise is in some ways kind of a frustrating monster. So that's some good lateral thinking there. I approve. All right, let's get on to today's monsters, the Guardian Demon and the Guardian Familiar. The Guardian Demon was created by Ian McDowell, and it is basically a demon. It's a pretty tough one. It, you know, has some good close combat attacks, and it breathes fire. It's got various demon-like immunities, and it is, you know, typically summoned up by a wizard and bound to a spot to protect the wizard's treasure. Fair enough. So it doesn't have any treasure of its own, but it's always, you know, defending some wizard's lab or vault. The illustration shows one emerging in a sort of cloud from an egg, which is not something that's in the text at all. It's kind of interesting that this doesn't make use of any of the existing demon types, right? It just creates a kind of generic demon. And it actually even says that it could look like a type 2 or a type 4 demon, but mechanically it would not be. Which I guess is interesting. I think maybe the idea is that if you're looking for something that fulfills this kind of specific role, there maybe isn't a very good representation of that among the existing demon types, because they all have sort of powers that would really make, either would make them too challenging as, you know, simple guardians, or they have agendas and personalities that would mean that this is not something that they would do. So it looks here like we're seeing the result of a DM looking at the demon section or trying to find something that will do the trick and not really finding what's needed. Now, you tell me why this thing's not in the demon section, which there is one in this book, but we can ask the same question in not very long about the Hellcat, which is basically a devil, but it's not in the devil section. I do think this says something about a design direction that is kind of in competition with some of the other design decisions that we've seen in the Fiendfolio. That is, Ian McDowell, who's also the creator of the Dacon, seems to want to say, well, look, you can skin this thing however you like, right? It can be a bear, it can be a giant cat, it can be an obvious demon of various types, but, you know, mechanically, they're all going to be the same. Mechanically, they're identical. What distinguishes them is their appearance and, I don't know, personality. Which is the opposite of what we've seen with some of the other entries in this series, that is to say, monsters which are fundamentally kind of, in terms of how you use them in games, identical, which differ only in their presentation, and which nonetheless have separate entries in the book. Next up on the list, we got the Guardian Familiar, created by Trevor Mendham. Now, this is a Fiend Factory monster. It appears in White Dwarf under the name simply Familiar, and I guess someone pointed out that there's already a different thing called a Familiar. Whatever it was, the Guardian Familiar is much more specific than just like a wizard's familiar. The Guardian Familiar is something not unlike a Guardian Demon, that is to say, something that a wizard summons to protect their treasure. And it takes the form of, you know, a kitty cat, and it lies down on top of the treasure chest and never leaves it. And it actually is pretty good. It's got a couple of good bits. Its main gimmick is that, because it is a cat, it has 9 lives. And so if you kill it, it just comes back. But every time it comes back, it gets -1 AC, +1 hit die, and +1 to damage. So on its 9th and final life, it is AC 0 with 9 hit dice and chucks out a D4 plus 8, D4 plus 8, D6 plus 8, which is pretty good. It's a nice monster because, well, one of the reasons that it's so good is that it keeps escalating and escalating, and essentially it's like a gambling mechanic. Because it also doesn't leave the vicinity of the treasure, right? It would be a vulnerability if you could kite it out of the area where the treasure was, and then some enterprising rogue could sneak in and, you know, nab the lot, right? So you can stop fighting this constantly resurrected, clawing, getting bigger cat at any time if you want to. It's up to you how long you want to keep getting scratched. It also means that you can kind of tinker with how difficult it is. I mean, effectively, it has 2 connected sliders. You say, okay, this old witch has a guardian familiar, and her cat has already died 4 times, which means that this thing, you know, is AC such and such, and has 5 hit dice, and so on and so forth. But that also means that the PCs have to kill it fewer times. So the, like, nickel and dime effect where, you know, each time you fight this thing, it's starting over from scratch and getting tougher, and you're depleting in terms of hit points and other resources, you know, that's lessened. So it's easier in some ways and harder in others, which I think is really interesting. This is actually a pretty interesting monster. I like the 9 lives gimmick. It's thematically appropriate to a cat. It's appropriate for like a witch to have a black cat. It's a good, solid monster. The only thing I will say is that a fight against it is very likely to be just kind of like a toe-to-toe slugfest, because it doesn't leave the treasure, right? So it doesn't do any of the other things that you would expect from a cat, like run around and hide under things, or, you know, climb up on your back, and so on. So, toe-to-toe slugfest and a kitty cat don't necessarily go together in my eye. Also, who are these brutes who are going to murder an old lady's cat sleeping peacefully on top of a chest? Still, overall, the Guardian Demon is a good, strong utility monster, which in some ways maybe forms an implied critique of the other demons in the Monster Manual. And the Guardian Familiar is actually a lot of fun, although it could get a little bit repetitive the second or third time the thing comes back to life. But still, no, I think these are both pretty strong. And that brings us to the end of the G chapter. Now, in our next episode, we're going to be taking a look at the Hellcat, the Horfox, and the Hook Horror. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. Do you have a favorite monster? Do you have something you'd like me to talk about? Find me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or send me an email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast, you can do so at patreon.com/monsterman, where you'll find lots of extra bonus content and my brand new show, Patron Deities, in which I explore the deities and demigods advanced Dungeons & Dragons book. Check it out. Thanks for listening.